On.
Hello. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
We're doing something a little different. As you can see, I brought my chair out here. I'm not plugged into anything, so that means we're going to have to listen and sing together. I arrived at this church, 6 months ago? And I assumed that I was going to be the only musician on this stage. And I'm so blessed that God sent some amazing worshipers to help me out. So thank you, worship team. I decided to let them have the day off. They've been working so hard. So with that, I want to open us up in prayer, and I want to sing and praise our God, the King of all kings. Amen? Okay, let's bow our heads, and let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you for this time of fellowship again, to come into your house and to sing praises to your name. You're the name above all names. You are a healer, and you are a king. Lord, I ask that you come in and do a mighty work in this service. If there's needs that need to be met, people here in this congregation, Lord, meet them. If there's sin that needs to be forgiven, Lord, forgive that sin. Lord, let us continue to strive to work for you, to focus on you. You are the reason for the season. And Lord, thank you for bringing this community of believers together so we could sharpen each other. Lord, I ask that you continue to bless us, keep us healthy, but most importantly, Lord, let us be your disciples. Let us go out into the kingdom and spread your message of peace, love, and hope, especially this season. Thank you again, Lord, for all that you've done. In your name we pray. Amen. Can everybody hear that? Okay. First song is going to be Nothing But the Blood of Jesus.
What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
All together.
Oh, precious. That makes me white as
oh, precious.
Oh, precious is that flow. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And what can make away my sins, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And what can make me whole again, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
One more time.
Oh, precious is that
time, nothing.
Nothing but the blood.
Let's do it one more time.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. Yes, you. We're going to sing O Holy Night, but before we do, I asked my wife to read something. I decided to look up the history of this song, and I was amazed when I learned its history. And so Jackie would like to read it to you and share with you its history of O Holy Night.
Noel, Capot turned to his friends, a
The song was sung at Christmas Eve Mass. Initially, O Holy Night was widely loved throughout France and made its way into many Catholic Christmas services. But when Capelle later left the church and joined the socialist movement, it was discovered that Adams was a Jew. The Catholic Church uniformly denounced the song. But by then, it had become a Christmas favorite. And although banned in the church, the French people continued to sing it at that time. A decade later, songwriter John Sullivan Dwight introduced the song in America. An abolitionist, he was moved by the lyrics, "Truly he taught us to love one another. His law is love, and his gospel is peace." "Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease." Mm-hmm. You guys know the song. The English lyrics quickly became as popular, especially in the North during the Civil War. Meanwhile, back in France, legend has it that on Christmas Eve in 1871, in the midst of intense fighting between German and French soldiers during the Franco-Prussian War, an unarmed French soldier jumped out of the trenches and walked onto the battlefield singing the first lines of "O Holy Night" in French. A German soldier soon joined in, and fighting ceased for the next 24 hours in honor of Christmas. Years later, Reginald Fessenden, a young college professor and former chief chemist for Thomas Edison, figured out that by combining two frequencies, radio could do more than transmit Morse code. It could be possible to speak. On Christmas Eve, 1906, Fessenden made history as he spoke into the microphone over the airwaves, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Shocked radio operators on ships and wireless business owners suddenly flocked to their units to hear over their tiny speakers someone reading the Christmas story from the Book of Luke, a Christmas miracle. Fessenden then picked up his violin and performed the first song sent through the airwaves by radio, "O Holy Night."
Thank you. A lot of history there. I was amazed. God could take anything and do mighty things with it. Even though the original writer left the church, the other one was a musician, was Jewish, still God could use anybody and everybody. That's the God we serve. So join in with me. Oh, holy night. Let's stand up and fall. Truly he taught us.
Truly taught us to love one another.
All right, gentlemen, help me out.
A thrill of hope.
You can get all
the weary world rejoices.
All right, ladies. Have a seat. Thank you.
All right. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Bethany. I'll tell you what, that's worth getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning to come and sing that with you, Bradley.
Amen.
That was a great job. Thank you so much. At this time, we're going to take up our offering, and so we'll ask our ushers to come up and help us. I want to also encourage you, when we get ready to do Mission Moment, it's a really special one today, and so it's a very short one, so you want to be paying attention to Mission Moment today, okay? When we get ready to do that, maybe Todd can give us a warning saying, it's about to start, quit talking, all right? And we'll do that. So, Brother A.L., would you ask the blessings on off?
Thank you.
Go ahead. Wish everybody a happy Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everybody at church. Who that don't know me, my name is Bill Slusher, and I got a pretty little wife named Patsy. Over and out.
Gracious Father, we come to you. We just ask, Lord, that now the most important part of the worship is your word. It is your word that stands firm. It is your word that is able to convict the very hearts of evil men. It is your word that came and was made flesh and dwelled among us, and we beheld the only begotten of the Father. And Father, we still believe that the word of God is weapon that we have in these days in which we live. I pray now that you will anoint the word again. You've already anointed the Bible, but now anoint our service as we live. Use your word to proclaim the riches that we have in Christ Jesus our Lord. We pray that you will just use Bradley in a mighty way. Just allow the Holy Spirit to freely bring back to memory the things that we studied this week as he prepared for this moment. As a church, we are thankful for each and every one. And these things we ask in the name of the every name, in the very precious name of Jesus, we pray, and all of God's people said,
amen. Amen. Before I get started, I wanted to bring my sister up here, Bert. She has something special she would like to share. She called me this week and said, hey, I have something for somebody really important. Do you mind if I present it to him? So I said, yes. We didn't tell you, sorry. As we're waiting for her to come up, I wanted to start you guys off real quick with a Christian joke. I want to see if you guys would get it. How long did Cain dislike his brother? as long as he was able. Okay, okay. How about this one? Why didn't Noah go fishing? He only had two worms. It's all you, sister. Beautiful. So now I don't have to get you a gift for Christmas, right? God is good all the time and all the time. Let's go ahead and greet one another. Let's turn around and say, Jesus is a reason for the season. Man, I thought I had pockets here. Jesus is a reason for the season. Do you get me all marked up? Jesus is a reason for the season.
Yes, hi.
Jesus is a reason for the season. Did I do this right? You all know this better than me.
I don't know. The light is on. It's
so
on.
That means it's on. Oh, okay. I was going to try to turn it off. Oh, there it is. Is that off? Because then I still see the ring.
You want it?
It's okay. You can hand it back.
I turned it on.
Okay. Thank you. All right, last one, I promise. What time of the day was Adam created? A little bit before Eve. I couldn't help myself. I was reading these, just cracking up. Girls thought I was crazy. I was just laughing by myself. So we said that Jesus is a reason for the season, correct? All right. Christmas today, I have to be honest, is often seen as a battle between religious and secular forces. A never-ending struggle between baby Jesus on the one side and on the other. Yeah, snow, reindeer, Santa Claus, and Christmas trees. For many non-believers, it's seen as disrespectful to wish them a Merry Christmas. Instead, they want to hear you say, Happy Holidays. And many Christians will happily substitute Christmas for Xmas. Merry Xmas. Because I don't want to offend. Merry Xmas. Let me ask you again. Who's the reason for the season?
Jesus.
Okay. Okay. Is it possible people say Merry Xmas because they want to deliberately try to take Jesus out of Christmas? Yeah, of course. Let's look at how we pronounce Christmas. We say Christmas, but it's actually Christmas. But we remove a letter there. What's the letter? The T, or as I call it, the cross in Christmas. And I like T's. I got two of them on my last name. Yes. The cross. They try to remove the cross. The same thing has happened to Resurrection Sunday. Let's call it what it is. Or as the world will call it, Easter. I'll be honest with you. I don't know anything about Easter or how a bunny could lay chocolate eggs. It's above me. But I do know what Resurrection Sunday is. It's the day my Lord and Savior rolled that stone away, defeating hell, death, and the grave. But yet, it's Easter. Is it? A day without Jesus, remember this, is a day without joy. A day without Jesus is a day without joy. Jesus is the reason. Amen, amen. When Jesus was born, it was the best day the world has ever known. Yet when Jesus was born, there was no room for him in the inn. Pastor, you did such a great job filling us in these last 2 weeks. So I'm going to revisit one of the scriptures he brought up. Luke 2:7 says that as she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. This Christmas season, I have to ask, is there room in the inn of your heart for Jesus Christ and his teachings? Joy to the world. Okay, what's the first word in that song?
Joy.
Who brings us joy? Do you have it? Everybody kind of like, ooh. I didn't know he was going to hit me with that question. Yes, do we have joy? Did you know that if the heart cannot cradle Jesus Christ as its king, then it has no joy? I'll say that again. If the heart cannot cradle Jesus as its king, then it has no joy. My next verse of the day is going to be John 15:9-12. And Jesus says, John 15:9-12. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Say it with me: Jesus brings joy.
Jesus brings joy.
He does. He does. Nothing else will bring joy besides Jesus. I'm not going to keep us long today, but I wanted to go on another, kind of pull this away from this portion of the sermon, kind of leads down a different direction just for a minute. And it's sadly we live in times where people are trying to remove Christ from everything. They're trying to remove the joy from the world. They want to remove Jesus from our schools. They want to remove Jesus from our courthouses. They want to remove Jesus from all public places, even off our money. Companies are refusing to wish you a Merry Christmas instead. Or Merry. It's true. Could you imagine what Christmas would be like if we couldn't speak Jesus' name? Could you imagine it? I believe, personally, in 20 years from now, we'll have that answer. And it won't be good. As you said, this is about as good as it's going to get. It's just going to get worse from here. The book has told us that. Some might be thinking this morning, no, Brad, you're wrong. You're wrong. There's no way. There is no way. You know why? Because we're protected by the First Amendment. America, right? I pulled it up. Congress shall make no laws respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of press or the right of the people peacefully to assemble and to petition the government for redress of grievance. That's the First Amendment. But I want you to remember this. Our lawmakers won't use laws to get their agenda. They're going to use mandates. How do I know this? Well, look at what happened these last 2 years with COVID-19. I come from California, Sodom, Gomorrah. I made a joke about it. But it's true, because our churches were mandated to close. This is truth. I watched my grandma, my 80-year-old grandma, have to stay outside in the 104-degree weather or in the freezing cold to go to church. I saw that. Censored or deleted speeches. We see that all the time now. One of my favorite prophets, Kim Clement, he actually prophesied over me when I was a ratchet little boy. And he passed away. His daughter still runs his program, but they removed him from YouTube for hate speech. Censored or deleted speeches. If you have a social media account, just type in COVID-19 and post it. You'll see what they'll do. Now, I'm not trying to make it. My wife was like, be careful about saying that word. Not allowed to assemble. That's a direct violation of not only our law, but of God's law. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as ye sees the day approaching. I did King James Version right there. Hit you with the yeast. That's for my sister Amanda. Let me say it again. This Christmas season, let us not forsake who Christ is. He's the reason. And I know I got to please and not squeeze a lot of the times when I preach, but I have to be honest. I know Christians from where I came from that would die before they let somebody take away their Second Amendment over my dead body. But yet they closed our church doors, and I didn't hear anybody say one thing. Let's call it what it is, believers. You're more concerned with a piece of metal than our place of worship. Not us, but the word Christmas begins with Christ, the virgin-born child, Christ child, our Savior, the baby who was born in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. Was not merely just a child, but the Son of God. In his infinite grace, he was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born in, into this world as a human, yet he never ceased to be God. Jesus Christ in his infinite love did not begin when he was born in a stable or laid in a manger. Instead, he left heaven to come down to this world to be the Savior to mankind, the best gift of all. He offered himself as a free gift to all. Free. Thank you, Lord. God's gift to the world. John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but... That's how much God loved us. He sent his son for us. Got another one. John 5:24. Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my words and believes him who has sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. That's an amazing gift. That's an amazing gift. Who's the reason for the season? I'm going to keep asking you that. It came without ribbons. It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, or bags. Maybe Christmas doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas means a little bit more. The Grinch. As I start wrapping this up, or closing it out, I want to say, to truly put the Christ back into Christmas, we need to be more like Christ in everything we think, say, and do. The true focus should be Christ in Christmas, not the boxes, the packages, or the bags. We can accomplish this by being more generous to one another and for those that are in need, and forgiving those who have hurt us. I know that's a hard one. That one hurts sometimes. But if you've been holding on to a grudge, this is a perfect time to let it go. Let it go. And forgive once and for all. Here's a useful fact, and don't forget this. Forgiving others allows us to overcome feelings of anger, bitterness, or revenge. And who wants to feel those feelings during Christmas time? I'll say that again. If you're holding on to any grudges, this is a perfect time to let it go and to forgive once and for all, because forgiving others allows us to overcome feelings of anger, bitterness, or revenge. Forgiveness can heal us, heal our spiritual wounds, and bring the peace, love, and joy that only God could give. These are gifts that really matter. This is having Christmas with Jesus, not without. If you're mad at somebody, don't buy them a gift. Forgive them instead. It'll benefit you and them. Amen. Another way to keep Christ in Christmas is we can embrace a mindset of humility and not look down on others because they have less than we do, look different than we do, or act different than we do, or even believe different than we do. We can learn to embrace anyone and everyone, no matter how they are viewed by others, or even ourselves. Christ was a beacon of hope in a time where much darkness spread over earth. He came to bring us joy. It is no coincidence that the annual celebration of his birth also provides hope for others. You know why? Because somebody like you invited them to church that don't believe. Because remember, to somebody, you are their Bible, you are their worship song, and you're the one that's going to bring them to church to introduce them to God. That's on us. I can't go out and go get your friends or your family, but God sent you in their lives or put you born into their life so you could bring them to his glory. No, God wouldn't do that, would he? Yes, absolutely. He knows the beginning from the end, and he wants to use all of us for his glory. So yeah, Christ was a beacon of hope in a time when much darkness spread over this earth. So brothers and sisters, at this Christmas season, let us all give the best gift. Let us give the gift of love, the gift of service to those around us, and the true gift of forgiveness. For as we repent, the Holy One, Jesus Christ, forgives us. I testify that Jesus lives. What about you?
Amen.
My God's alive, and he's doing mighty works today. I testify that he lives. I testify that he's the King of kings and the Lord of lords.
Amen.
The Prince of Peace, our Savior and our Redeemer and our friend. Who's the reason for the season?
Jesus.
So let's not have Christmas without Jesus. Thank you, guys. That's it. Yeah, we have one standing by for you.
Thank you. Hey, Bradley, great message. You'll be glad to know that we got the live stream working, and we'll be going to prison next year together, I'm sure. So there's a pastor who went to his church on Christmas morning to check on the church, as pastors do. And as he was walking up the sidewalk, he realized something in the nativity just wasn't right. And so he looked at the nativity, and he found baby Jesus missing. And he's thinking to himself, who in the world was still baby Jesus out of the manger? How could this be? And so he's sitting there and looking at the manger scene and pondering that question. And he hears a squeaking coming up the sidewalk behind him. So he turns around. He sees a five-year-old pulling a brand-new red flyer wagon, walks up to the nativity, and takes baby Jesus out of the wagon and puts it back in the manger. And the pastor asked the boy, son, what are you doing? And he said, mister, I prayed last night that if Jesus would bring me this red wagon, I'd give him the first ride. How many times have we promised Jesus something and we don't follow through? We sometimes just don't follow through on our commitments back. It's time to commit. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and I will direct your path. I don't know about you, but I need God directing my path every day, because I know he can do things. Today, if you're without Christ, you're missing a big part of Christmas, because there's nothing like celebrating Christmas knowing that the joy of Christ is in your heart, as Bradley so told us already. So this morning, as we get a song of invitation, Tammy, come, and whatever need you have in your heart today, he's able to give it to you. He knows it all about you. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us he knows the very hairs of the number of hairs on your head. He knows everything about you. There's nothing you can keep a secret from God. God already knows it. And as we studied this morning in Sunday school, sometimes we make the excuse, but you don't know what I did, and you don't know what I'm going through, and you just don't understand where I'm at. But none of that, absolutely none of that, will take the place of what he's done on the cross for you and me. He died for us because he loves us that much. And if you open up your heart, he will come in and fellowship with you. That is a promise that we'll stand on for all of eternity. As we stand and sing our invitation song. Surrendering is the hardest part. That's the battle that's within you. That's the part that you just hold on. But if you surrender your heart to Him, He'll bless you. He'll come and live within you. So, do you surrender all? Is that I surrender all more than just a song? Is it really the commitment of your heart? Lord, here am I. All that I have, all that I am, all that I ever hope to be, I give to you. I surrender all. To Jesus I surrender. Now I feel the sacred I surrender all. Hey, thank you so much for being part of our worship today. Thank you so much for being here. And again, we wish you a Merry Christmas. Christmas is just not on December the 25th. It's every day of the year when you know Jesus, right? And so celebrate Jesus every day. Hey, we want to remember Jim and Danny and their family this week. They'll be having a funeral for his sister on Friday. So we want to lift them up during this time of loss, during the holidays. So let's be praying for Jim. We had another video of Carlos and Betty wishing us a Merry Christmas. I couldn't get it off my personal phone, but we'll get that downloaded and we'll play that next week along with a few others. I think it's really important for us to see our shut-ins. We are going to be doing some shut-in stuff, or collecting fruit and Christmas boxes for them. We'll be putting those together. And so there's a lot of opportunities to get involved, just have fun. Amen. We'll have a lot of fun in the house of the Lord. They didn't tell me about the gifts because they know I can't keep a secret. I got something for Alberta for Christmas and it wouldn't fit in the box. And I said, you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and give it to you, you know. So I'm terrible at keeping secrets, you know. And let's see. Outside of that, it feels like I'm missing something else. Yeah, so there's some cards. If you, along with the fruit baskets, we're also putting personal notes in there, okay? Just wishing somebody a Merry Christmas. So there's some cards, and there are some ways that you can just fill out a card and drop it in the box. And right now we have about 12 couples that we're going to go visit in the next couple weeks, okay? And any other comments or anything at all? Remember this prayer request. Remember that. Also, I want to make mention for those folks who are working during the week, doing different stuff. Thank you for serving the Lord. Thank you for doing things for our church. We certainly appreciate it. Tammy, you got something? Yes. Yes. Let's remember that. That's tragic accident. And Mr. Baker Our superintendent even mentioned, you know, to pray for them. Okay. Amen. 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 We appreciate that. I know Amanda's going to be helping with the younger teens and got some great ideals. And so just turn her loose. Amen. And just turn her loose. And I know God will do some amazing things. All right. Anybody else? Anything else? One last thing for those who decorated the church. Great job. Thank you. It looks so beautiful. We appreciate that. Melanie, thank you. And cleaning the church, yeah. Yes, anyone who's taking part in that. Yeah, thank you for doing that. Amen. All right. Any other words? All right. If not, I'm going to ask my favorite prayer warrior. Mark, I call on you all the time because I love your prayer.
You're too kind. I don't probably need that.
Oh, well.
They tell me I have.